Hi everyone, welcome to episode 127 of the Spartans in Pajamas podcast. I'm your host, Loz, and as always, we have Dolph.
Hello.
We have Star.
Hello.
And we have Spark lurking too.
Hello.
We may have others, we'll see how it goes. You know what I just realized? I could probably get my voice cloned and then just get a ChatGPT thing. Just to do an intro. And just be really lazy. And just have the pauses there. Oh.
Nice, son.
Well, when you have to say the same thing every time. I could also do Dolph's. I could also do Dolph's outro. Just get enough of mine and his voices together, then we could do intros and outros with a fucking AI.
I mean, sorry, me bloody talking about it every fucking time.
Oh, see, these are the things that happen when my brain has too much time to think. Also, I will let everyone know now, a bit of an announcement before we get into the podcast proper. Monday the 1st of May, I am older. It's my birthday. I am doing a birthday stream in the evening. I welcome everyone who's listening to come and watch at twitch.tv/LozG1985. And if you want to send me any birthday monies to help me buy things or just treat me, there will be a donation link in my channel about stuff. So, hey, you know, if you want to throw a quid at me, throw a quid at me. That'd be great. Do you know what I figured out? If every one of my followers on Twitch was to donate me £1, I'd have £2,000. But yeah,
that's the saying. Take out the pennies, the pounds, the car, take over themselves.
Exactly. I was like, if literally everyone came on, donated £1 and buggered off again and never came back, I'd have a brand new PC. Or, I don't know, fucking 3/3 of a PlayStation 5 VR setup.
You take that back.
Oh yeah, I know I'm fucking doing that. VR is such a fad. If you can't, the thing is with that, if you aren't able to get over the motion sickness of it, it's fucked you. There's no point buying it. It's the most expensive. It just becomes an expensive paperweight.
I mean, you can't do VR for long periods of time anyway. At the best of times, even with motion sickness, it just fucks your eyes up.
Yeah. Well, apparently, even like. Like, was it Dankpod's channel? We're on a real ramble before we've even started. He did a whole thing about PlayStation 5 VR, and he said that, like, the capture of what he was looking at versus what he was looking through at his VR, he says that the VR was at times often blurrier than what you actually saw on his capture that he was showing what he was doing. So you know how in VR you can watch on the TV what the person in VR is watching and seeing and how they're acting in that space. That capture is a lot cleaner than what you see in game.
Yeah. What he was actually viewing while he was playing the game was a lot blurrier than what people were seeing on the street.
Yeah. It's like, unless you can get prescription fucking VR goggles, you're never going to see 100% clear image. Because you can dial them in as much as you want, but there's going to be a little bit of jank on it because they're not going to be fully dialed in. But like, the screen will show exactly what it looks like dialed in. So, yeah. that was like my little thing. Hey, I'm going to be 38 between this podcast and next podcast. So hopefully next podcast we'll have a whole, this is what happened on my birthday stream. We had a big fucking crazy time. It was cool. But I don't know. Maybe we won't. Maybe I'll just get really pissed off at PUBG again and stuff like that. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not your dad. But we've had a beer festival at work last weekend. So I am mentally exhausted. And it's bank holiday weekend, obviously, because May Day, 1st of May, is a bank holiday. First Monday in May. So, the first Monday in May this year is the 1st of May. So, my birthday. So, I'm working the Sunday, which is always the busy one, the one that we don't get paid money for extra, because it's not a bank holiday. And then at midnight, I'll probably get a bit pissed because it'll be my birthday, and then spend all the Monday day of my birthday probably holding my fucking head. So let's look forward to that, shall we? Other than that, that's all I really wanted to say. That's my pre-ramble. Well, Dolph?
Yeah, it's been one of those weeks, really, isn't it? I mean, I've been too focused on other things, really, to really give a shit what's been going on, to be fair, but...
I think, like, somebody just hit fucking fast forward on April this year.
Oh, fuck, have they just... I mean, it's not a scare for you. We're nearly in June. We're nearly halfway through this year already.
Yeah.
I mean, June's only, what, 5 weeks away? Six weeks away?
I know. I've still got to pay for my kid's prom. We've got to get him through the GCSEs. We've got to get his college done.
And I hate to be that guy, because it's only getting, when this is ever getting towards June, it won't be long till fucking Christmas.
Oh, yeah, by the way, the boy was 16, by the way, last week.
Yes, Star? She's shaking her head at me. She's like, no, so, don't talk to me about Christmas.
As this Sunday's just gone, so the 23rd of April, my boy turned 16. So yikes. If you don't feel fucking old now, especially like, say, Lala and some of the other guys who've known him since he was literally an infant, Bob as well, they're all like, that's fucking crazy. And it's like, I know, I was there when he got pushed out. It's like, I remember when he was a little screaming slimy mess ball, which was so cute though, and now he's this 16-year-old rolls his eyes when I give him a hug kind of boy.
I was waiting for you to say screaming slimy mess ball. I was just waiting for it, because I
took your word, to be fair.
I raised him good.
So if you didn't say it, I would have.
I can get away with it. I've got four kids, so yeah.
Yeah. Nah,
you mean four? You're fiend four screaming slimy mess balls.
Oh yes. Oh, they are screaming slimy little mess balls.
Oh, mine's okay.
Well, does that mean that it works? Screaming slimy mess balls.
Yes, it does. Too many. Some with chewed as well.
Dude.
Yeah, it is weird when you look back and you go, "Fuck me, that was 16 years ago." Old. I'm so old. Not as old as Spark, but I'm so old.
I've been feeling the worst for wear this bloody week. Four migraines on the trot.
Yeah, I know. I tried to hit you up for PUBG the other day, and you're like, I've got a migraine.
Just no.
So I get that. I get that, dude. Don't worry.
Just for the topics, before we get into the topics, I just kind of interrupted Sparks there. Just gonna, we'll move Lala's around as we need to.
Yeah, in the list. I don't know if she'll make it, to be honest. If she's as knackered as I think she is, she's probably not coming. I don't blame her.
Go on, Sparks, before I interject you.
No, that's fine. Literally just saying migraines, hate them. Ban them.
But yeah, so to tell you, Spark, properly why, because I didn't really mention it on the stream the other day, but the reason why I rage quit PUBG the other day was literally because I couldn't get Erangel. I couldn't get Erangel, and I was getting more and more fucking frustrated with the game. Because it's like, I killed two people, which I'm pretty sure were bots on Miramar. I just fucking camped a corner and as they came round and fucking murked the shit out of them. Because I heard them run up. But then, like, every other interaction I had was just, like, debatable. Like, there was a Mini 14 that didn't have any recoil with a 6x scope, and this guy was fucking lasering me. He wasn't going fast, but it was like, nothing, it didn't move. And I'm like, okay, fuck this. And it just, like, the tilt sensor in my brain was just like, okay, I'm done. Quit. When did half an hour did half an hour of Elite, and then just... I accidentally grazed a Type 9, had to go and hand in my bounty, which put me in a detention centre because I couldn't pay the fine. I had to hand myself in and pay the fine.
So yeah, some of you do.
For a 400 credit assault on a ship, which in the old days was just pay the fine and fuck off. Now it was like, oh, but now I've got to fly back 30 fucking light years back to TZ. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm done streaming for tonight. Fuck it, I'm done. It's honestly.
Sounds like your head was hurting as bad as mine.
It was like, I've kind of been a bit burnt out with streaming because not everyone's around to do the games I want to do. Or
yeah.
We're just all on different fucking pages with like work and shit. So it's awful. And I'm trying to make myself stream more consistently again because I am like, fuck it, I can't be arsed. Because every other Wednesday is my actual day off streaming on the Monday to Thursday. But I think I streamed twice last week. Maybe twice? I don't fucking know.
Maybe.
Probably my downtime between gaming and working, I've been picking up my drawing again. Yeah. I have posted a few drawings in the memes.
Well, it's just been so fucking... so fucking tiring, like, with life. I mean, the whole work stuff has been fucking killer. Like, the random disassembly of the staff structure at the beginning of April. The fucking beer festival, the bank holiday, the new but another bank holiday that's coming up, the fucking King bank holiday, because fuck me, right? We haven't got enough fucking bank holidays in April and May, but apparently they're going to squeeze another cunt in there. Just, I don't know. Star, how have you been?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Lady, a few words.
Oh, you see, that's the thing with Star.
Star's like, yeah, stress free.
She tells you stress free, she's lying through her fucking teeth, I'll tell you.
Did me?
Say you're stress free.
Come on then. You want a guy in a stick? So, what am I stressed on? What am I stressed on?
You've got to put up with me on a daily basis.
Yeah, I've got to put my down on a daily basis.
All my shitty jokes.
Yes.
The thing is,
you've seen the ones that Sparks been putting recently.
Oh, hey. Recently.
Last few days, you put a few in, didn't you?
Yeah, I put a few in my one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I must admit.
Can't see them though.
Oh yeah. I'll...
Bless you, sure.
I did nick a few of these off of other places, like the fucking so Star. The Earth is like 7% water, right?
Yeah.
And it's uncarbonated, right?
Yes.
So technically it's flat.
Shoot him now. Just shoot
him. No face right now.
So you know what I love about the meme of it as well? It's from The Mummy, and it literally just got Brendan Fraser cocking the gun at the end, and it's just like, you can hear him do that. You can hear that in your head of him, because I'm going to fucking have him. I sent it to my friend. I said, the best thing about it is you can hear that. She goes, yes, you can.
Did you?
I'm going to quickly bring one of Sparks over from his Discord.
Did you guys see the one that was put that doll find the other day about this child who is with a parent and they're in the garden and she's got sunglasses on her head and she counts the sunglasses and she asks the child if they can skip count and the child walks away counting while skipping. And I'm just like, oh,
gosh. I'm going to read this.
Sorry, folks. I do have the football on at the same stage here. So
this is from Sparks of the Discord. So it's like, my day is just crap. Friend, what's wrong? Beer frozen, burnt my pizza, and girlfriend's pregnant. Friend, you can't pull out anything on time, can you? That is top shelf. Have I got any good ones? The one that made me fucking like howl the worst. It was probably the Pluto one where it's like, oh, Pluto's not made a full rotation in 17 years or something daft like that. And that's it. Pluto hasn't made a full orbit around the sun since it was discovered in 1930. And the thing is, I wouldn't finish my job if I got fired either.
I can dig that one, definitely.
Oh, see, these are all visual memes, so they're no good bloody reading them out, but they are quite good. I'll post them in a bit. Right, so shall we get on with some topics? Because I don't think anyone else is coming. I think we've procrastinated for long enough. Because we are procrastinators.
Yeah, we are.
So what the what the fuck's liquid trees? I'm the fuck liquid trees. So this is from amp.cheeseburger.com. So scientists invent liquid trees and get roasted by Twitter. So you've got to hand it to nature. A lot of the time, it really seems to know what it's doing. We wouldn't have come this far if it hadn't been able to change and adapt to everything the world had thrown at it. Even if the whole climate change catastrophe thing might be threatening to change this. Still, there are plenty of things created by the Earth that you wouldn't think you would need to mess with, such as the humble tree. For billions of years, they've done a great job taking CO2 out of the atmosphere and giving us shade. But according to certain scientists, they haven't been doing the job well enough. Liquid trees are a recent invention that basically look like a dirty aquarium. And the good people at Twitter have wasted no time in expressing how unimpressed they were with them. We don't need to reinvent the wheel, surely. So scientists create liquid trees, a tank full of water with microalgae that could be the alternative to trees in urban areas.
As opposed to just planting more fucking trees, but okay.
Yep. Yeah, so replying to this... from Control on Twitter. Scientists in my area planted these solid trees. They apparently make oxygen or something like that. Mind blown.
Yeah, I like the next one.
Benjamin Ryan on Twitter replied with, "This is the biggest thing since pizza in a cup." Adam Singer replied with, "Because we hate birds and shade." Jennifer Greenberg, "No, that's just a fish aquarium that hasn't been cleaned out in a year." Zuby, "Nature did it better." Harry Hill, not that Harry Hill. "What in the Sky Mall catalog is going on here?" Jessica Ellis, also not that Jessica Ellis. or hear me out, trees. Alan Thomas, "There are thousands of microalgae water tanks already in existence across urban and suburban America. We call them swimming pools." Ordinary Things, "File this under cool but stupid." Oh, God. And then John Neeland replied with, "A perfect tree for the human goo ball to exist." And this is also then from R. They Did the Math on Reddit. "So if you blended all 7.8 billion people on Earth into a fine goo, you would end up with a sphere of human goo just under a kilometre wide. And it is like a massive thing, massive ball in the middle of Central Park in New York. And it's quite impressively big. It's ridiculous."
I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
You're not gonna say it.
I can feel it. Carrying on, Ron Del Blaker replied, "Yes, finally, an alternative to trees." Dave McElfatrick, I'm sure I fucked that name up. "Now I can tell people I'm great at climbing trees." Walter Straps, "Cool. Now the tech pros have invented trees." Ocean, "Can't wait to go and read a book under the shade of the giant green algae tank." And then Bite Back, "This would work really well during mosquito season." Rolls eyes. So, yeah, basically, cool idea. I mean, I get why they have made these.
Yeah, if you're in an area with a... was sent a quote unquote a concrete jungle, I suppose, but
yeah,
they're going to be prime real estate for vandalism, really, unless they've got some sort of high impact bulletproof glass protecting it.
Oh god, yeah, you won't be able to put them in America because people would just shoot them. I feel like they would be placed in areas where there is significant risk to historical like landmarks, where trees would undermine and destroy the foundations. I can kind of see where that's coming from in a really fucking odd way. But
I mean, even a bus stop would be an ideal thing.
Well, just... I mean, if it does what it's meant to do and it takes carbon dioxide and expels oxygen, it's doing its fucking job, isn't it? It's doing the job. It's a fucking compact air filtration unit. I don't know if they would have to like top them up or like maintain them. I don't fucking know.
I'll assume, you know, unless they keep the algae in check, they'll have to obviously remove some of the algae and move it elsewhere.
Yeah, they have to keep it in balance.
Yeah. Upsets the eco.
Yeah.
Have you heard of them, the vertical trees or the moss trees, whatever it is?
I've heard of them, but I haven't really looked into
them. Yeah, they use like a moss mat and then lay them sort of vertically. So there's like three or four vertically, and then they sort of suck the air in at the ground and filter it out back through that. They've been showing it on some of the tech stuff as well. So yeah, they've gone for more than one model.
You know what I can't wait for though? The fucking, the in-car tree. Liquid tree.
The portable tree.
The car liquid tree that goes next to your fucking air conditioning thing. And it's like, this helps reduce.
Smell of nature. Smell of nature.
Pine scented.
God.
Okay.
Minty fresh.
Yeah, and new scents in, you know, curry mile, smell of takeaway.
That just made me think of a podcast title. Mm. We can't do the next one because that was a Lalit topic. So we've got a few famous people departing this realm of existence. So first one, well, Barry Humphries, Australian. I think he was Australian, wasn't he? He was definitely Australian.
Australian drag act.
Drag act.
Dame Edna Everage.
Probably one of the first drag queens that was popularized.
Oh, they made it big in America.
Yeah. Like,
and that's rare. For a drag act.
For the UK audience, the younger people might go, oh, Paul O'Grady, Lily Savage. But Dame Edna Everage was doing it in the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah, she paved the way.
Yeah. And Barry Humphries was a fucking... He was a guy who could be absolutely savage, but fucking funny while he was doing it. And that's where most of the drag queens' like energy comes from, is from like how he played Dame Edna Everage, because he would fucking roast the shit out of anyone, and he gives zero fucks doing it. He died at the age of 89. Unfortunately, I don't have much in the way of
cause.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it was like cancer or.
I'm not sure. It has only been the last few days, so.
Let's have a look.
Details are a little sparse at the moment.
Let's have a look. Let's have a look. I think that's not going to be detailed enough. I was fucking looking at IMDb. That's no good. Sky. That might be better. I need to sneeze.
Doesn't hurt.
Thank you. So he died after suffering complications following a hip operation last month.
Hey, bugger. Anyone smell a lawsuit?
Oh, I don't know. But apparently he played his drag persona on stage and TV for over 60 years.
Oh, yes.
So
I have fond memories, as it were, of watching Dame Edna show
when I was younger.
I unfortunately don't have any memory of it, unfortunately.
I remember.
I mean, if I saw some of his, saw some of their acts, more than likely, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember a TV show, but I remember seeing them, like, turn up on, like, the Royal fucking Guard right. and shit. Yeah, variety stuff. But yeah, I literally paved the way for, like, RuPaul, Drag Race, and all these popularized, normalizing of people dressing up and being a different persona and even being a different gender than they are currently. Paved the way, normalized it, made it a thing. But yes, very, very sad that one. And then next one, I really don't know much about this guy at all. I don't watch reality TV shows, but Len Goodman, he was a Strictly Come Dancing judge.
Yeah, head judge.
He died at the age of 78. Once again, I don't have any details on that.
Short battle with, I think it was bone cancer.
Oh, well, yeah, bone cancer is a fucker. Trust me, I know what's good, that kind of shit is.
I believe. Yes, but yep, very popular. Again,
I'm a bit wheezy at the moment. I'm just doing my inhaler while we talk through.
Excuse me.
That's why I need to get my asthma bloody appointment done again. It's like, you need to do an asthma clinic. Yay. So they'll tell me that I'm on the same medication I should be. I'm doing exactly what I should be doing. See you in a year. Which is what they did last time. So yeah, I know people who are into reality TV and that will have more to say about Len Goodman than that. I don't. Does Star really watch Strictly or anything like that? Does she have any insight on this?
She does watch reality TV for a fair bit, but I think she's more
like
for Gogglebox or Four in a Bed kind of thing. I think it's the Four in a Bed. Basically, they all you got to have all these hotel owners who then stay in each other's hotels and they rate them.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, Four in a Bed.
It is Four in a Bed.
I love.
I mean, I would ask her, but she's not here.
Oh, she's conveniently fucked off and we need her.
Yeah, she's already gone fucking AWOL.
Oh, well. Moving on. So, SpaceX, Elon Musk's space program.
Oh, yeah.
This is from cheeseburger.com. Has had its ups and downs, literally.
Like its rockets.
Yeah, like its rockets. From ones that have successfully taken themselves up into the stratosphere, come back down and landed on the same fucking pad they took off at with precision, to ones that have had rapid, unscheduled disassembly.
Someone's a KSP fan by the sound of things.
Yeah. So, cheeseburger.com says, it's that time of the week. Everyone's favorite roastee, Elon Musk, is trending on Twitter and waiting on your feed. But what did he do this time? Did he appeal to Twitter Republicans? Did he run Twitter further into ground? Did he post a 420 meme? Not quite. Though we can't rule it out in the immediate future. Today, Elon Musk experienced a rapid, unscheduled disassembly, or in reality's terms, his rocket exploded. I love the fact that that was on the live stream as well. The comment, the like narrator, the presenter, when it exploded, we seem to have had a rapid, unscheduled disassembly. So that morning's SpaceX launched its unmanned Starship into southern Texas, which exploded around 4 minutes after launch. Good news, nobody was hurt. Bad news, there were concerns about the explosion's impact on the surrounding environment. Best news, Musk is most certainly fuming right now, and the Tesla stock is down. The hashtag rapid unscheduled disassembly is quickly becoming a meme on Twitter. The term comes from SpaceX official statement describing the explosion as just that. Big props to their PI team. We now have viral tweets like the Hindenburg rapid unscheduled disassembly and jokes about Elon's rapid unscheduled disassembly of his marriages. Oof. Here's how the Twitter users have been reacting to SpaceX, Musk, and Starship's explosions. So, Marcus Brownlee on Twitter. I'm just going to say the fucking names and just get on with it. Rapid unscheduled disassembly is such a friendly way of saying it blew up, but at least we learned a lot on the way. Trey the Explorer. Elon Musk is the modern king of Midas. But instead of touching things and it turned to gold, everything he touches just explodes. Sergeant Joker. I too had a rapid unscheduled disassembly this morning, shortly after breakfast and my second cup of coffee. SpaceX is just a flying Tesla. Mayor Andre Dickless. Babe, I didn't come too fast. I experienced a rapid unscheduled disassembly. That guy broke me. Oh shit.
Elon broke his rocket.
Yeah. We're pretty dictionary.com. We're pretty good at synonyms, but rapid unscheduled disassembly is a new one, even for us.
New title. Rapid unscheduled podcast entry.
You know that, or just rapid unscheduled disassembly. I think that works still. Oh dear. Then Jameson Webb. Well, folks, today is 420. Did you see this, Ed? 420, Cannabis Christmas, the day of our dank. May your icky be sticky, your bushes be righteous. SpaceX is celebrating today with a new stream. It gets you briefly high, and then you experience a rapid, unscheduled disassembly. Twitter's not been ruined by Elon. It's just experienced a rapid, unscheduled disassembly from Larry the Cat. I think you should leave memes. A great rocket that doesn't have a rapid unscheduled disassembly while I launching? Okay. This game is stupid. No. Best clap. If only there was some kind of metaphor for Elon's year. As if her maiden voyage wasn't exciting enough, RMS Titanic experienced a rapid unscheduled disassembly before arrival. Tesla's stock is having a rapid unscheduled disassembly today as well. Oh, shit. This morning, my four-year-old turned to me gravely and asks, Daddy, will Elon Musk ever make it to Mars? When I told him no because he is an idiot and it's too far away, he started crying. Okay, well, I'm going to move on because there's a lot of them. And we'll be here all day. We'll be here all fucking day going through those.
Yes.
Yeah, rapid unscheduled disassembly is one of my favourite things. And where did it come from properly?
Kerbal Space Program, one of the tutorial missions.
And that predates...
It predates what went out on Twitter, yeah. I think Kerbal's been out, what, 12 years? 10, 12 years?
Because I was playing it on my laptop. My HP fucking laptop in beta.
I remember one of the tutorials with Von Werner saying when we experienced rapid unscheduled disassembly that we learned a lot of things on the way.
I can't even spell Kerbal right. Kerbal Space Program. It came out in...
It's like 2014. 2012, 2014?
2011.
Oh, it wasn't far off.
It's been out 12 years. 12 years. The term rapid unscheduled disassembly has been around. Sorry, Elon, you're not a pioneer, you're an imitator.
I mean, when do we know when it originally launched? Did it have the tutorial missions at the start?
I don't think.
I mean, regardless, the tutorials have been in the Kerbal Space Program at least since I've been playing it on console. Easily.
Oh, yeah, it's been out on console.
Even before the Enhanced Edition came out.
Hmm. But yeah, It was a funny way of just saying shit exploded. Moving
well,
on.
Shit, that sucks.
Yeah. Moving on. So we got news in the news and all over that there was going to be a test of an emergency alert system here in the UK. And it was to happen on the 23rd, the boy's birthday. I was at work. It was a Sunday. It happened at 3 o'clock or, for me, 2:59. I was an OT.
Yeah. I got mine at 2:59 as well.
My phone was silenced and in my pocket, but thank fuck I didn't get in trouble because 15 other people's phones went off at the same time around me, so no one knew my phone was in my pocket. Because, to be honest, I'm a supervisor at work. I can get away with it because my boss knows I'm not going to take my phone out in the middle of work and fuck around with it. But it went off on my watch. It went off on my phone. I don't know if it went off here at home. I'm going to stop there because I feel like I'm Dr. Seuss at the moment, rhyming. But it was just odd, very odd. It's like, this is an emergency test of our emergency system. You don't need to do anything now, but in future, you need to follow this information so you will be safe, sort of thing. But then you posted a meme about what would happen based on the actuality of this. In the event of a sinking ship, this is like, or the emergency alert system thing going off, those on the 3 network would die as they got no notifications. Those on the EE network would be the first to be able to respond to it, followed closely by those on the O2 network. Some on the Vodafone network would survive, most wouldn't. So they were using that on the like the Titanic like meme, basically saying that fucking those on the 3 network would just die in the ship, whereas EE and O2 would be off in the lifeboats, fuck you, we're out. and Vodafone may or may not survive. So it was an interesting thing. Hopefully we won't have another one. Hopefully that will be it. That will be the test. There won't be any actual emergency alerts coming up unless it's like a bad weather. I imagine that'll be the next thing. If we have another fuck off ridiculous 40 degree heat wave like we did last year, that come on,
sorry,
emergency
just
alert.
Back. It's emergency alert, yeah?
Yeah.
Didn't get one.
You didn't get one? You got one there, work are you on?
I'm on O2. Sorry, no, Tesco.
Tesco's part of O2.
Yeah.
Hmm. So that's strange then.
Tesco uses the O2 network.
Yeah, I have credit on my account. I was connected to the Wi-Fi. I didn't have mobile data on.
No, I didn't either. Mine still came through. And I was sitting outside without no connectivity.
Yeah. I think even on airplane mode it'd go off.
But I will say this. My phone is from the manufacturer, Huawei.
Or Huawei, the Chinese... the Chinese phone makers.
There's possibly a small security risk there.
I imagine.
Some little loophole?
Maybe. That would be interesting, that, to find out why their phones didn't receive them. But, like, those on 3 didn't get them either, so.
Yeah.
You could have had an iPhone and been on 3 and you'd have been fucked. But, yeah, the whole Chinese thing is weird. Apparently, we're going on weirdness. Egypt apparently was going to back the Russian war until the US went, hey, we're going to sanction the fuck out of you. And Egypt suddenly went really quiet and went, okay, maybe we won't. Sorry. Don't hurt us, please. Because they were apparently going to send them like guns and tanks and shit.
Apparently so, yeah.
Yeah. And then apparently America went, And Egypt went, okay, sorry. It's the equivalent of a dog going to bite something it shouldn't do, you going, ah, and the dog quietly slinking back away and going, no, we're not going to do that anymore. That's a bad idea.
Oh, excuse me.
I don't know this next one.
That's Lalat.
Oh, okay.
It's the game she's been playing recently and she streamed and I think she spent like 6 hours playing it or some shit.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about it. So we'll skip until she's able to talk about it. So next one. So we're in gaming now. Hi.
Yeah. So I've got the link here. I've got the pop it in so you can read along. So I did kind of have a little gander for the article because I forgot to fucking paste it.
I haven't.
So this is from ibtimes.co.uk. Sega is set to acquire Angry Birds developer Rovio Entertainment for £625 million.
Anti-consumerism. So shut it down, CMA. Shut it down.
Right. Yeah, right. Go on.
Oh, God. Here we go.
With Sega closing in on a mega deal to buy Rovio Entertainment, Stuart Smith from leading commercial and media law firm Simkins has given his view on the purchase. Japanese video game developer and publisher Sega has agreed on a deal worth $625 million to purchase Rovio Entertainment, the Finnish video game developer behind the well-known Angry Birds franchise. Sega, known by many for creating Sonic the Hedgehog, is seeking to step up its growth levels and stay competitive with the world's gaming market. This purchase of Rovio Entertainment can allow Sega the opportunity to do so, as Rovio Entertainment has remained stable. Angry Birds has built up a great legacy in the 14 years since... 14 years, really?
Yeah.
I remember playing the original Angry Birds. I don't think it was fucking 14 years ago.
It was on the iPhone 3GS, one of the first App Store compliable. Basically, because the first iPhone and the iPhone 2 and 3 could not do video or video games. It was literally just a smartphone. Then iPhone 3GS came out and the App Store came out. And it could play games and it could do video, it could do YouTube and all that shit. Huh. Angry Birds was on that very first one.
Angry Birds was previously reported to generate over 50 million downloads as well as 200 million minutes of gameplay per day.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the sequel for the first game, Angry Birds 2, arrived 6 years after the first in July 2015, the game had downloads exceeding 3 billion. The game market is set to become... What? The game market is set to become grow... even fucking... Christ. The game market is set to grow even bigger and become more lucrative, with Statista reporting that this year the revenue is projected to reach over 300 billion revenue. It's projected to have a yearly growth rate of 7.89%, leading to forecast market size of over £400 billion by 2027. Partner specialist corporate and commercial lawyer at leading London commercial and media law firm Simkins, Stuart Smith has given his take on the purchase of by Sega, mentioning wide opportunities for the Japanese video game developer. He said, quote, "This deal would give Sega a stronger foothold in the increasingly lucrative mobile sector, something that even a platform like Nintendo has been trying to access in recent years." Smith also touched on filmmaking aspect and potential of this deal, adding, "With the huge success of the new Super Mario movie, I suspect that Rovio's experience in adapting Angry Birds for cinema would also have caught Sega's eye." I mean, was the film any good?
No, it was shit. It was, oh, it's made for kids and only kids. No one over the age of 5 played that game.
The Super Mario Brothers movie has managed to generate a global box office earning of nearly £550 million in just under 2 weeks hitting the cinemas. It is also the highest grossing video game adaptation in history, dethroning 2016's Warcraft, and is the highest grossing film of 2023.
How
so far.
The fuck did Warcraft make more money than Pikachu movie or the two Sonic films?
No idea.
I don't think they've done their fucking stat checking. I'm gonna look up video game.
While you do that, I'll continue. The two Angry Birds films, which Rovio co-produced, 2016 Angry Birds movie and 2019 Angry Birds movie 2, grossed around £280 million and roughly £120 million respectively. Box office performance of the first movie means it sits at 7th place in the all-time worldwide box office list for video game film adaptations. In looking at what this deal between Sega and Rovio means for the future, the specialist corporate and commercial lawyers believe this announcement suggests that the pace of M&A activity in the gaming world isn't slowing down anytime soon. With the potential of more gaming mergers and acquisitions on the horizon, the video game industry will be estimated to continue showing dominance and popularity worldwide. This is as more opportunities in coming up with new gaming-related ideas can be undertaken and tapped into. Smith feels the potential increase of mergers and acquisitions in the gaming landscape can benefit those involved, especially in the mobile gaming sector. He says, quote, "Good news for successful mobile publishers and developers, especially those who own popular IP ready and waiting for a big screen crossover." Other major acquisitions within the gaming industry involves Microsoft owner and creator of Xbox looking to purchase video game holding company Activision Blizzard, more on that later, for $69 billion. Activision Blizzard is the owner of popular video game franchises such as Call of Duty, Candy Crush, World of Warcraft, and Overwatch.
Okay, I've got the top 50. things, but I'm going to do the top 10. So, number one, the new Super Mario Brothers movie. Because there has been another one. Don't fucking start. Then Warcraft. So, 888 million Super Mario Brothers movie. 439 million Warcraft. Detective Pikachu, 433 million.
Ooh, just under.
Number four, Rampage. That fucking one with The Rock in it. Oh, 428 million. Number five, Sonic the Hedgehog 2. 405 million. That was really good, though. Uncharted, number six. That was 401 million. The Angry Birds movie, number seven. 352 million. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, number eight at 336 million. The first Sonic the Hedgehog movie at number nine, that was 320 million. And then Resident Evil, The Final Chapter, 312 million for the top 10 highest video game grossing adaptations.
So out of curiosity, what was number 50? Just curiously.
Pokemon Destiny's Deoxys.
Never heard of it.
34 million. A lot of them are Pokemons. The number 46, Super Mario Brothers from 1993. 38.9 million. Yep.
Jesus. Wow. And that was Rutger Hauer as well, yeah.
And, well, it was Dennis Hopper as well, wasn't it?
Oh, Dennis Hopper, yeah, sorry. Yep.
So, In comparison, 38.9 million for the original Super Mario Brothers movie. Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, the one that's meant to be most like the game, was 41.8 million when it came out 2 years ago. Oh, how much did Doom make? 58. Mm-hmm. 58 million on a budget of 60 odd. Ooh, that lost money. So did the Mario Brothers movie, actually. And then Max Payne. Well, I actually made money. It wasn't a bad film. It just wasn't a great film. But yeah, we have finished all this, haven't we? For that. But it was interesting to look up. I really thought that the Sonic films and that were higher than the Warcraft film. But apparently there's a lot of Warcraft nerds out there watching that. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. So we briefly touched on it the other podcast about Ubisoft Plus.
Yeah.
And it's out now? Question mark?
It's either out now or it's due to come out very soon. Sometime either this quarter or next quarter.
Well, this is from TheVerge.com. Microsoft... Oh, no, that's the UI for Microsoft thingy. That's not the one I need. I clicked the wrong thing. It doesn't have a thing. God damn it. It's all you, Dolph.
Yeah, bear with... Oh, fuck you, phone. Oh, something. Stop being a see you next Tuesday.
Is it having a rapid unscheduled disassembly?
No, it's had a record fucking pain in my fucking ass. There you go.
So this is from TrueAchievements.com. Ubisoft Plus now available on Xbox. Costs more than Xbox Game Pass Ultimate.
So that's going to be a pass straight away.
That's a hard skip. So after months of rumour and speculation, Ubisoft Plus finally launched on Xbox consoles. Xbox users will have access to more than 60 games across the Xbox Series XS and One. To access Ubisoft Plus, Xbox subscribers must subscribe to Ubisoft multi-access tier, which costs a pricey $18 or £15 a month. The multi-access plan offers over 60 games to play on Xbox consoles, complete with all premium editions, new releases on day one, and other benefits. You'll also have access to over 100 games on PC and Amazon's Luna Cloud gaming service with this tier. The full list of games on Xbox, including the service, has also been announced and looks similar to what we found on the back end of Microsoft Store. With Ubisoft Plus, you'll be able to play games such as Anno 1800, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and Far Cry 6, Immortals Fenyx Rising, and more. All these games include their premium edition content and DLC packs. So that's kind of cool. Rather than getting just the base game, you get the
full you get access to everything that's DLC wise plus main game.
Yeah. You can also expect new Ubisoft games to drop in Ubisoft Plus when they launch on day one. So the Ubisoft games on Xbox are Anno 1800, Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered, Black Flag, Unity, Valhalla, Chronicles China, India, and Russia, 3 Remastered, Odyssey, Origins, Syndicate, Ezio Collection, all Assassin's Creed. Then there's Battleship, Boggle, Child of Light, Family Feud, Far Cry Primal, Blood Dragon, Classic, 3, 4, 5, 6, New Dawn, The Fighter Within, For Honor, Ghost Recon, Breakpoint, and Wildlands, Grow Up, Hungry Shark World, Immortals Fenyx Rising, Jeopardy, Monopoly Plus, Monopoly Madness, Rabbit's Invasions, Interactive TV Show, Rabbit's Party of Legends, Rainbow Six Siege and Extraction, Rayman Legends, Riders Republic, Risk and Risk Urban Assault, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, The Game, Scrabble, Shape Up, South Park, Fractured But Whole, and Stick of Truth, Starlink, Battle for Atlas, Steep, The Crew 1 and 2, The Division 1 and 2, Trackmania Turbo, Transference, Trials Fusion, Trials of the Blood Dragon, Trials Rising, Trivial Pursuit Live 1 and 2, Uno Ultimate, Valiant Hearts Great War, Watch Dogs 2 and Legion, and Watch Dogs, Wheel of Fortune, and Zombie. While Ubisoft Plus does include new Ubisoft games on day one and premium editions of games, £15 and $18 a month is quite the ask for Xbox users or maybe who already may be subscribed to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which includes access to more games, EA Play, Cloud Gaming, Game Pass for PC. One benefit that the Ubisoft Plus has an Xbox is that if you're unsure of the games and didn't want to pay the £70 asking price for its premium releases, you can sign up for a month to play the game for cheap. So
according to True Human Survey, 90% of people out of 4,200 votes would not even bother with the subscription for Ubisoft Plus.
I mean, why bother? It's such an ask. You're paying £12 a month for Game Pass Ultimate.
And you got to pay another £15 on top for Ubisoft Plus.
Just the Ubisoft games. It's like,
I mean, is EA Play included in Ultimate?
Yes, EA Play is included in Ultimate.
Oh, wow. I'm kind of surprised. Kudos to EA.
They
shipped the market practice in the past.
Because I could download The Sims 4 and play that on Xbox.
Does that include all the DLC, though?
No.
Fuck you, EA.
Fuck you. Do you think they're going to let you download every single piece of fucking DLC for Game Pass? Nah, mate. They're not going to let you do that. But
I was hopeful, okay? Leave me alone.
I think you do get...
living in a fantasy world.
Oh, yeah. You're fucking smoking some shit. I do think with the Game Pass Ultimate thing, you do get that slight discount. I don't know if it carries over to EA Play games. I think it does. So that's a thing, probably. But the only good thing about the Ubisoft thing, if you just had gold and you were really into Ubisoft games, you could get all the Ubisoft games with all the DLC.
Which in itself isn't a bad deal.
No, but Game Pass Ultimate is like everything, I mean, first party Microsoft.
I'd love to do some sort of negotiation with the Ultimate Bundle. Maybe do something like kind of pay a little bit more, have Ubisoft Plus as well as EA.
You know what will happen eventually?
Or you get a choice of, do you want EA Plus or do you want Ubisoft Plus in your subscription?
Do you know what will happen eventually?
And still play whatever it is currently.
Dolph, do you know what will happen eventually?
Go on, Ant.
This will tank fucking hard, and Microsoft will go, hey, why don't you put that subscription into our Ultimate, drop the premium versions, give them the base games for free, and just throw it in there.
Yep.
And that's what will happen. And it'll work. It'll work better that way, 100%. But I do, no, it's too much to ask. It is a lot to ask for how much you're getting versus how much they're wanting off you. It's like, considering Game Pass Ultimate will give you a shitload for £12 a month, they're asking for an extra £4 for just their games.
It's not inclusive of Ultimate.
Exactly. It's not very competitive.
Speaking of more money, so I think we touched on this briefly last year. You know, the hacks that are going around on Nintendo Switch, Team Executor. Turns out some of the people actually got caught and actually arrested and put in prison. And one of the people, Bowser, not actually the owner of Nintendo.
Not Doug Bowser.
No, this is a guy called Gary Bowser. He was released from prison early, and he still has to pay Nintendo $10
million. $10 million.
So, a man sentenced to 3 years in prison. This is from Polygon.com. For his role in the Nintendo Switch hack selling scheme has been released early. But he says he'll have to pay Nintendo a portion of whatever income he makes every month for the rest of his life as part of a $10 million settlement with the company. In a podcast interview, first reported by Torrent Freak, Gary Bowser, 53, said he was let out of federal prison in Seattle early because of his age, medical condition, and nationality. He is Canadian. He will soon return to the Toronto area, but Bowser noted that his plea agreement calls him to pay Nintendo $10 million in restitution. The agreement with them is that the maximum they can take is between 25 to 30% of his monthly gross income. And I, have 6 months before I have to start making payments. Bowser was arrested in the Dominican Republic in October 2020 when he was one of three members of Team Executor, which developed and sold devices to hack video game consoles, among them the Nintendo Switch. He pleaded guilty to federal crimes charged in November 2021, and in that plea he admitted to selling tools that hacked Nintendo Switch consoles and which his customers used to get Switch games for free. Oh, fuck around and find out.
Oh, he did.
In December 2021, he agreed to pay Nintendo $10 million to settle a civil lawsuit. Nintendo has brought against him. Bowser's criminal sentence also called for a $4.5 million fine, but since he is returning to Canada, Bowser said he is unlikely to have to pay that. It's also unlikely Nintendo will ever actually see the full amount. So far, Bowser said he's paid Nintendo $175 from the money he's earned from working in the prison's library and in the kitchen. He also has health issues that limit his mobility. Bowser in the podcast mentioned he was grateful to return to Canada for access to healthcare and disability insurance that afforded him. So, yeah, that's a well and truly fuck around and find out.
Yep.
I mean,
he's going to die before he even pays $1 million.
Yeah, so Nintendo are not going to see that full price, but it's going to be a big warning to other people who are part of this thing. You know, if we catch you, we're going to fuck your life up.
Imagine those younger ones are in the 20s getting fucked like that. They are ruined.
From what I understand, the three people arrested, the fourth that were involved, hasn't been found yet. So he's covered his trail really well, but give that matter of time, we might be talking about it in the future. But from what I understand, Bowser was not even the leader of this group. He is one of the lackeys, shall we say?
But he's not. This is not to do anything with the leaks they had. This was the hacking. So,
and getting the games free off the Nintendo.
Well, that's piracy. That's 100% piracy. It's not data security breach or anything like that. That is pure on stealing. So yeah, they're right to fucking go at him about that. It's 100%. If it's a dead game and you can't get it anymore, it's not digitally available anywhere, it's not physically available anywhere, then if there is a ROM up of it online, it's acceptable you'd be able to do that. Like the Sims games, the first one and the second one, EA don't even have anywhere more. You have to have the physical discs for them. They are abandoned.
I think Starcy has a physical copy of First Sims, do you?
Mm. Well, they're considered abandonware, so
you have Pets or Sims, the very first one.
Yeah.
I used to on PC, but I don't think I do anymore.
Oh, might be somewhere. Might be somewhere.
Because they're considered abandonware, you literally can go and just download the ROM with a crack, so you don't need the CD, and just play it. Because EA don't support it anymore. When it's like that, that's fine. Because that's the company not wanting to make any more money out of it. That's the company.
So, I miss the old Sims where you'd build a house and then you'd randomly get burgled down then.
Oh yeah, and you also and you were able to buy and make a pool because it was included in the base game.
Not part of a DLC. Bastards. DLC.
Yeah, bastards.
Yo.
My houses died burned down though.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the houses you burned down, how many people did you kill?
The babies as well.
And the babies, yeah. Fucking kill the babies, you...
Burn all the babies, fucking... We've got tiny team.
Burn all the babies! It's nice to see Star getting a bit more involved, yes?
I've got people fighting for jobs as well.
You need to go to work. No, you need to fucking eat.
Eat
your fucking food.
No, I just stay at home today. Oh, you were supposed to be at work today.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna barricade the fucking door with some dead relatives. Fuck you.
I feel like
I want to be at home. What's this work? What should this be?
I feel like I should change. I feel like I should change Star's Discord name to Tiny Tina.
When did you say that?
Burn all the babies.
Burn ours and then.
The funny thing is, I still remember the old money for First Sims.
Clapacious.
Really?
Clapacious, yeah. You type in Clapacious, is it like colon, was it? Something like that? Or...
No, the more you put on, the more you got. I think it was a straight 1,000 for Clapacious, and then the more you, like, commas or stuff.
I mean, you had to do something like control shift C to wake up the console, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. Well, the more you did of the little squiggle or whatever the fuck it was afterwards, the more money you got because it added a zero.
I remember when I had a copy of my old PC back in my old Windows 95 PC. I used to just when I got in from school, I used to before dinner. I used to learn The Sims, type the cheat, put a book on the end, open the console, and put a heavy book on the enter key, and just come back about half an hour later and come back to about like 4.7 million. So yeah, I'm gonna build a fucking mansion.
No one's going to work ever.
That was the old SimCity one. Type in FUND while it was paused.
And then I'm just doing like a 4-room house with a fucking big pool with that gone. Yep.
I know Age of Empires 2 Cheesesteak Jimmy's got your food. I remember that one, but I can't remember any other fucking cheat. I just remember like playing it on my mate's Windows 98 like fucking computer in his room while he was busy snogging his girlfriend behind me. Because I was bored. And they were just too busy.
Tons of tennis.
Yes. I was the nerd.
Getting busy.
Yeah, they were doing all the fun teenagery things and I'm doing the nerd shit. It's like, I'm making this Ottoman Empire the fucking best empire there is. Can you shut the fuck up over there? Stop being so loud with your moaning. I'm trying to win. Sort of thing.
Yeah, you're trying to win. I think he was winning.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what isn't winning, though.
Well, he's trying to finish first, at least.
Yeah, probably. So, from WindowsCentral.com, Activision Blizzard deal has been blocked by the UK. Microsoft are going to appeal. This happened today.
Of the podcast. And those, what are the cloud services that also put in their view forward?
Yeah,
I forget which one it is. It's begins with B.
I don't know. We can get into it. So here's the TLDR of what we need to know. Microsoft is trying to buy Activision Blizzard for $69 billion. Deal has been under scrutiny for the past year, including the FTC seeking to block the purchase. The CMA from the United Kingdom have raised a number of possible issues with the deal and have now blocked the purchase. President Brad Smith has signalled his intent to appeal against the CMA's decision. All right, let's get into it. So Microsoft bid for the biggest acquisition ever just took a huge step backwards. UK regulatory board, known as the CMA, shared that it has blocked Microsoft's purchase of Activision Blizzard. The CMA examined the purchase over the past several months, notably raising concerns early in the year that it could harm competition. The CMA claims that blocking the deal over concerns the cloud market, despite Microsoft tirelessly working to sign deals for competing cloud platforms to gain access to Call of Duty and other games. A few weeks ago, the revised and narrowed list of concerns from the CMA, accepting the evidence that Microsoft would not be inclined to remove Call of Duty franchise from competing platforms outside of Xbox, specifically away from PlayStation. It seems that Microsoft didn't go enough to secure the confidence of the CMA. The UK is the first major regulatory to block the deal, in contradiction to regulators that are approved, including China, Brazil, Japan, Chile, Serbia, Saudi Arabia, with South African regulators also recommending approval for the deal. Excuse me. I need to get a glass of water soon. Microsoft still needs approval from the European Commission and the SAMR in the US. No, in China, sorry. Before the purchase can be officially consummated. Well, the FTC in the US is seeking to stop the merger from happening. However, there's a report that Microsoft could seek to close the Activision Blizzard deal without the approval of the FTC in the United States, owing to the FTC's apparent reluctance to seek an injunction, there you go, in the federal court system. It's unclear what will happen from here with the CMA having blocked the deal. The appeals process for the CMA regulatory findings is difficult to overcome. In the past, tech companies like Facebook have similarly walked away from the acquisition under attempts from the CMA after the rule to block. Microsoft President Brad Smith has signaled the intent to appeal the decision made by the CMA, setting the stage for a large, expensive, and laborious court battle. It's rare that UK appeals process for the CMA rulings have been overturned with decisions like this. But where there's $69 billion at stake, it's probably worth it for Microsoft. Activision's leadership team is beginning to speak up now, with corporate comms EVP Lulu Cheng-Mazaveri, I probably got that wrong, noting that Activision's plans to reassess its investment into the UK, stating that the country is closed for business. Activision CEO Bobby Kotick also sent an email to staff, which is shared below. It outlines the firm's plan to appeal the decision to the UK regulator. Kotick once again called into question the viability of the UK as a country good for tech investment. The UK is the worst performing major economic, owing to headwinds from Brexit, with the current establishment rushing through bills to have companies like WhatsApp and Signal threatening to pull out the country entirely. So this is the email from Bobby Kotick. Today, the CMA, a regulatory agency in the UK, decided not to approve our merger with Microsoft. This isn't the news we wanted, but it is far from the final word on the deal. Alongside Microsoft, we can and will contest the decision. We've already begun the work to appeal to the UK Appeals Tribunal. We're confident in our case because the facts are on our side. The deal is good for competition. The UK hopes to grow its leadership position in technology, and a combined Microsoft-Activision would accomplish exactly that. At a time when fields of machine learning and artificial intelligence are thriving, we know the UK market would benefit from Microsoft's bench strength in both domains, as well as our ability to put those technologies to use immediately. By contrast, if the CMA decisions hold, it would stifle investment, competition, and job creation throughout the UK gaming industry. Which is true, because they do that, they kind of got to make precedent for other things. The CMA's argument that the cloud gaming market would be harmed somehow by this acquisition flies in the face of reality and could simply have been taken up as an excuse to avoid having an argue in Sony's favor as market leader. Microsoft has offered to include Call of Duty ETC in cloud gaming platforms, including NVIDIA's GeForce Now, which, as a result of the ruling, will no longer get to access Call of Duty. The block does nothing to protect so-called cloud gaming market and does everything to protect PlayStation's leadership position while harming the potential growth of cloud gaming services. CMA pulled its pulled out of its concerns over the console market. What? The CMA pulled out of its concerns over the console market because it knew the math wouldn't hold up to any sort of real-world scrutiny. Their cloud gaming arguments are less substantive and vague. However, since its deals with crystal ball predictions are subjective opinion, nobody knows what or could happen with the cloud gaming market in the future. Making it an easier argument to present the alternative, which boil down to we want to protect the market leader. Once again, the FTC and CMA's decisions seems entirely ideological. The decision makes absolutely no real-world sense, and that's par for the course for the British establishment, which is becoming well-versed in making self-damaging decisions in recent years. So unclear whether Microsoft's appeal to the UK regulatory process will have any impact in the decision, but buckle up, the appeals process will keep the deal in the headlines through 2024, most likely.
Yeah, so I'm no legal jargon expert, but I have a few ideas what might be, that could happen. They appeal the deal, and it still gets blocked, and they go, okay, we'll just pull out the UK. No Microsoft products, nothing.
Then
Microsoft would lose a lot of money, but then again, that'll most likely cripple the UK.
Well, yeah, because most of our technology is Microsoft-based. Windows.
Yeah.
It's just like we don't have any support
Secondly, what they could do, they can get around and say, okay, we don't technically, air quotes, own Activision Blizzard. We'll just pull it through as a third-party holder and do it that way. That still means the acquisition goes through, but they have to go through a third party. So our third party ownership would go through Activision Blizzard, while Microsoft still owns that third party. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I just think at the moment.
So a different body owns the UK version of Activision Blizzard, but Microsoft still owns that third party that owns Activision Blizzard. Secondly, what they could do, Activision Blizzard, if they want to be spiteful, they can say, okay, once these contract with Sony ends up saying, no, we're not doing no contract for you anymore.
I mean,
we'll do all our contracts with Microsoft. Hey, we might even go to Microsoft and say, hey, do you want to buy the Call of Duty franchise, which you can do whatever you want with?
Unfortunately, though, that seems like that won't happen because
no, because there's too much money on Sony's side for Activision Blizzard to literally pass up.
They've literally just gone, we're very disappointed in Sony, but we'll still want to work with them because money, SpongeBob. But I feel like...
But then again, if you think about it, if they say, as Jim Ryan put it, Call of Duty goes where the money is, goes where the Call of Duty is, so if Microsoft owns Call of Duty, they might flock to Xbox. Who knows?
Oh, that'd be hilarious, though. They'd just Activision go, Call of Duty license,
there you go. So not much exclusivity per se. It's kind of like, with Sony, no, we're not going to do you any exclusive deals anymore, so no exclusive skins, no exclusive XP bus. We can give those to Microsoft. You know, we'll force you, if you want Call of Duty exclusive, then you have to do cosplay.
Yeah.
It's our IP. You want the same thing as Xbox, then you have to open up the cosplay.
It would be hilarious if they just license it out to Microsoft as an exclusivity. It's like...
For 10 years, just to rub the faces in it.
Yeah, it's like, you own Call of Duty for 10 years. Get on it. That'd be hilarious. It would absolutely be fucking hilarious because Sony would be like, but, and it's like, well, you should have fucking let us buy them. We weren't going to get
them. Okay, well, Sony, you've got Socom, you've got Killzone, you've got, I don't know, whatever those franchises you've let die over the last 20 odd years that you haven't decided to revise.
It's one of those things where...
Barking Tilter. Do you know, I'd love to see ourselves put a remake on PlayStation, sadly.
I just feel at this point that Sony just needs to shut the fuck up. Because...
I mean, if this does get blocked again, then the Microsoft could say, could draw attention to Sony and say, okay, what about their anti-competitive practices with all these third-party exclusives they're doing by saying, oh yeah, you can make games, just not for this competitor. PC's fine, but no Xbox. And that's very anti-competitive. So CMA, yeah, look into that.
Well, I mean, already the senators are going for the fucking...
Which segues into the next topic very nicely, actually.
For Video Games Chronicle. Do you want to read this? I'm going to go quickly get a glass of water because my fucking throat...
I need to find the fucking link. Hang on.
VGC,
got it. VideoGamesChronicle.com. Fuck off with your cookies. US Senator asks Sony CEO to reveal PlayStation's game exclusivity deals. Kevin Cramer is the latest senator to accuse Sony of anti-competitive behavior. North Dakota Republican Senator Kevin Cramer says he sent the letter to Sony CEO Kinichiro Yoshida regarding its anti-competitive behavior and to request information on the company's acquisition agreements. In the letter, originally spotted by Axios, Cramer tells Yoshida that he is writing to express concern about Sony's efforts to protect its gaming console business from competition. He goes on to claim, quote, I am concerned Sony's dominance of that market and its efforts to perpetuate its current position imperils an important economic development opportunity for North Dakota. Cramer states that North Dakota has, quote, developed a strategy to lead the nation in computer science and cybersecurity education, and that preparing students for careers in gaming is an important component of this effort. Given the growth significance of the gaming industry in North Dakota, Cramer says, I am troubled by reports Sony appears to leverage its dominance to exclude competition rather than enabling choice for players and developers. He then goes on to add, increasingly, it appears Sony's dominance is attributable to exclusionary practices, including payment, even paying game publishers not to distribute their games on rival platforms. He goes on to claim that Sony's attempt to oppose Microsoft's proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard is an example of anti-competitive conduct, saying it's even more troubling that Sony's lobbying of the FTC and other regulators began shortly after Sony itself acquired Bungie. Cramer ends his letter by asking Yoshida for unredacted copies of all agreements that give Sony an exclusive right to distribute a third-party game, all agreements between Sony and third-party publishers that prevent them from releasing their games on other systems, all internal company documents describing the strategic rationale for Sony's decision to acquire Bungie, all correspondence of US government or regulatory agencies relating to video game competition. Cramer's letter makes him the latest US member of Congress to accuse Sony of engaging in anti-competitive behavior. Last month, two letters, one from the Republican member of Congress, the other from six Democrats, accused Sony of deliberately making exclusivity deals with third-party publishers to ensure Xbox does not gain a foothold in Japan. The letters called on US Trade Representative Catherine Tai and Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo to raise the issues with Japan during the trade talks. Both letters claim that by not acting on these alleged anti-competitive practices, Japan is effectively putting a US company, Microsoft, at a disadvantage. Sony has secured a number of third-party titles as PlayStation consoles exclusives over the years, some of which have come from Japanese publishers. One of the most notable examples of this is the company's ties with Square Enix, which has seen Final Fantasy VII Remake and Final Fantasy XVI excluded from the Xbox. Another key example from the last generation was Capcom's Street Fighter V, which has remained exclusive to the PS4 and PC ever since its release in 2016. As Axios notes, Microsoft has previously confirmed that its government affairs team has discussed Sony's contact with members of Congress, which may explain the time of these political accusations aimed at Sony.
I mean, at the end of the day, they may fuck the merger, but they might have lost the war in the long run.
Well, yeah, because if you accuse your opponent of doing something, you're going to get investigated, so making sure you're not pulling any fucking shady shit either.
Well, what's the worst thing that could happen here? Sony get blocked from dealing and trading in the US, which is a fucking huge market.
Yep.
And I think any of these, like, oh, Activision Blizzard deals, is going to be a drop in the ocean. It's going to be such a fucking...
Well, I suppose another case scenario could be that... the US Senate, the US Senate Book of Congress rules that if you want to carry on doing business in the US, then you need to allow other entities to put their games on other consoles. Otherwise, we don't want to do business with you.
I think they'll just be like, your practices are shit until you change them. We're not doing business with you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And then
don't forget, Sony has like, what, 90%? Or was it 95% of dominance in Japan?
Yeah. Well, you think about it this way. This is where Sony are kind of fucking themselves royally, because they could just go, actually, it's not just Sony computing department we want to block. We're going to block the entirety of Sony. So, Blu-rays, stereos, hi-fis, fucking anything Sony branded could be under the chopping block for this.
It becomes like TVs and DVD players, if there's a still a thing. Blu-ray and all that. I mean, you still got other providers like Toshiba, LG,
Panasonic, Samsung.
Yeah, they can still
provide
people what they need.
It would be hilarious to watch that happen, because at the end of the day, you can't claim that something is anti-consumer and then be anti-consumer. The fact that the US Senate is now looking into it, and it's not just Microsoft blowing smoke up Sony's arse about this, or the senators up the arse going, oh, I think they've done wrong. They've gone, actually, no, looking at what you've presented us and what they're doing and what they've presented so far, from what we've seen of their exclusivity deals and that during this proposed merger with Activision Blizzard for Microsoft, it's brought to light that actually this could be some really shady shit going off that Japan needs to sort out, and it could affect Sony massively, like I said, because if they're not willing to take these rules and the fair trade agreement seriously, Microsoft, not Microsoft, but fucking the US government could just say, okay, we don't deal with Sony anymore in the US. None of your products are to be sold by us anymore. We do not deal with you as an entity until you come back to us with a fair and better trade agreement that makes it more than just a one-sided thing. And it's going to be funny to watch them getting absolutely slapped. Because at this point in time, they are not looking favourable. It's like, yeah, right, the Activision Blizzard deal might fall on its arse, but Sony fucking shook the beehive and are now trying to run for cover. And there might not be any cover for them to get to. So we'll see. So, next topic.
Which is
from TheVerge.com. Microsoft's home UI is getting reworked after complaints over crowded backgrounds.
Yeah. I mean, people have been asking this for so fucking long. Like, Christ. Like, you know, all this dynamic background you got on the Xbox console? Yeah, you can't see fucking most of them because it's too cluttered with fucking tiles and shit on the home screen.
Yep. So, Microsoft started testing a new home UI last year that will be released in 2023. But fans haven't been impressed with the aging tiled surface that does nothing to show off dynamic backgrounds and wallpapers available on the console. The new home UI started to feel like a giant Xbox Game Pass ad. Kind of does. And now Microsoft has acknowledged that it is feeling a little crowded. We've heard from you that changes from the top of the home did not leave enough space for you to enjoy the backgrounds, and it felt crowded, said Ivy Krislov, senior production manager and lead of Xbox Experiences, in a blog post that day. We're working to balance the experience, accessibility and function and the needs of our community, and to bring you a great, refreshed home experience. Microsoft is now removing the new home UI for testers and pausing to experiment to prepare for bigger changes that are on the way. Christoph says the Xbox team will share more on the new Xbox Home UI soon. TM. Thank you all for the feedback that you've shared. It is a key part of our process, and our team is working hard to incorporate it into the experience and get it to you to use. So the writer wasn't a fan of the Xbox Home interface. They're hoping to see something like we've seen for many fan concepts that put the background in the center and the UI or backgrounds at the center of the UI and offer much more customization. It's encouraging to see Microsoft respond to the criticism and fan feedback around this part of the Xbox dashboard. Microsoft has redesigned the Xbox dashboard plenty of times over the past decade, but it now feels like it's in a largely good spot and just needs a refresh of the Xbox Home UI and some improvements to the DVR feature to make it feel more complete.
I mean, if they keep the dashboard as it was and just had not so much that. It's, do you know how like you have like a you get a screensaver on a PC?
Hmm.
Just like you're on your home screen, you really like say 30 seconds without no activity, all your tiles disappear so you can actually see your fucking background.
Or
I mean, I'd be happy with that.
Or they go opaque.
Yeah.
So you see the more of that, but you can still navigate. And then when you go back onto it, it brightens them back up again.
Or the tiles just, like I said, the tiles just disappear so you can see your background. And when you move the stick on your controller again, they all come back into reality, as it were.
Hmm. So finish this off. Microsoft has had some truly useful features to its dashboard over the past couple of years, including Discord integration, a night mode, 4K dashboard, and some great energy-saving power options. Which, I mean, it does.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, what? Kind of annoying that the... Nice! Was that your stomach or did you shit your pants?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I'm trying to think, what was the dashboard I like the most? You know the old sideways one that went from left to right? Not the blades, but the
one. I remember that one. I missed that one.
It was the 360 one.
Yeah. The 360 was the blades. I think the Xbox One had it originally going side to side, then I moved it up and down.
Maybe. No, because the 360 had... The 360 one has still, because I've got...
Not the blades. I had the boxes that went from diagonally left to right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
That they were cool. The blades worked, I suppose.
Mm.
I remember having the blade dashboard. I'm fucking old. I'm older next week. Ah!
Ah, the horror.
But, yeah. I don't know. I feel like it does need refreshing. I don't know why they messed with it from the 360 era. When they got it right on the 360, the new Xbox experience dashboard was pretty good. I don't know why they had to fuck with that so much. Mm. That worked. It's one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But then everyone goes, I know what will make it better. Like, no, don't do that.
I've seen some concepts people have been making online of how to improve, quote unquote, the Xbox dashboard, and I do like a lot of them. Making the tiles smaller and just, you know, having tabs, as it were, going down as normally, but you have just more view of the background.
Yeah, I mean, and that could be the simplest thing. Reduce the size of the fucking boxes by 20%, give you more real estate to see things. We have big enough TVs, or the fucking screen is close enough to your face these days that it doesn't have to be fucking huge.
Mate, I've always been curious as to why you're still getting advertisement things on the Xbox home screen when you're paying a subscription service to fucking use Xbox Live. I can understand it if you're not on gold, you know, if you're on the silver tier, you know, yeah, have the advertising slots on there, but if you're paying for gold or ultimate, take the advertisement out, please, because we're paying subscription for it.
I think that's the thing. It's when game companies pay to advertise their game, it doesn't matter because
Yeah, but I should have a choice whether or not those advertised on my console if I'm paying a subscription. It's like if you're paying a subscription for Netflix, do you want to have ads during your films? No, you don't fucking don't. You're paying a subscription to watch a film unhindered with ads.
Like, it depends on what fucking pricing range you are on Netflix, doesn't it? Because they've got the ads coming. But I kind of get pushing new products through the dashboard. It's usually only ever one tile, unless it's like brand new first party Microsoft game. Like Halo Infinite had the entirety of one fucking scrolling bit. There was just Halo Infinite. So I get it. Sometimes you want to push your games. Sometimes there are deals that they'll make where they'll push them through. But no, I also get the fact that if we're paying for it, we shouldn't really get them. But I can see both sides of that one. Not that I agree that we should get adverts, but I can see why we get adverts.
Oh yeah, I suppose it gives them revenue, I suppose.
It gives them revenue, it pushes a game that you might want to play that you didn't know about. It's
more than not, the adverts I get on my main home screen is like basketball, football. Don't give a shit about that.
Yeah. But I think that's like we live in the UK. You like football, don't you? You like football, don't you? You fucking like football, don't you?
I work in a bar, I see football every fucking day, no I do not like fucking football.
Humbug.
I don't like football either.
Humbug, yeah. We keep those in the bar. We keep those in the bar. They're called bar humbugs.
Oh fuck's sake. Right, fuck it. Last one.
This is from news.xbox.com. I posted this in the game related chat if you would like to follow along. Grounded's newest super duper update is coming today. This is on 25th, so this was actually yesterday. So just to summarize before we get into the nitty gritty of it, Grounded gets the super duper update today, available for free. The update brings over 100 new craftable items, new creatures, a base coziness feature, and more. Grounded is now available on Steam Deck Verified, and a free Steam weekend begins later this month.
Can I just say, where did that coziness come from? Would that be not rested?
I think you get something to like a...
You do get a buff.
It's a buff. I think I remember seeing something to do a hunger and a thirst a buff, as it were, so you don't lose that as much.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having the clover armor, where you... that. It gives you the moistness perk, and I hate that fucking word.
You remember far too much of that.
The Grounded team is excited to bring update 1.2 to the community today, rightfully titled the Super Duper Update. This massive update brings with it many quality of life changes, more than 100 new items to craft, a brand new base coziness feature, and the terrifying new wasps in the upper yard. Starting off with the titular item of the update, players will find the Super Duper machine the next time they visit Burgle in the Oak Tree Lab. This duplication machine will allow players to duplicate specific equipment and items using raw science. So we've got another item. We've got another use for raw science. Yay!
Also, that means I can duplicate all my gear and give it to you, because my gear was fucking tanky as shit.
Yep. Making this even more helpful for players, any item duplicated will include all the items' upgrades, which is sure to help save a lot of time when you and your friends need to gear up.
We're going back to the yard!
To use the duplicate machine, players must locate duper discs throughout the yard, granting players the ability to duplicate different items. Happy hunting. Players who have wanted to really spruce up the bases and make a new home in the backyard, a base coziness system has been added where buildings, furniture, and decorations now add to the coziness level of your base. Unlocking new levels of coziness will also unlock specific decorative buildings, recipes, a beneficial mutation for base building, and even new emotes that can only be unlocked by building the coziness of your base up. Help players out with their bases and to start working on gaining those coziness levels, this update also brings with it close to 100 new crafting items for you and your friends to utilise to make the base of your dreams. The community has already shown talent for creative bases, and we are super excited to see what new possibilities you will come up with. That's just some of what's on offer, as players will now get to meet a new friend to help them with all their base buildings, to meet the handy gnat, which you can summon and then use to bring all your base ideas to reality. This gnat will be able to build using planks, stems, and other resources from your stockpiles. This feature will also default to be active in the creation and creative with bugs games menu. This feature will default to be active in the creative and creative with bugs game modes. To activate this new brand of survival game modes, players must convert their games into custom games in the game setting menu, which is a small step to take for such a fantastic resource and friend to use.
No, because we want achievements.
It doesn't say it negates achievements, so.
But creative mode usually doesn't let you have
achievements. Yeah, it usually does, but we'll put it across that way. The turrets have been changed, and we have combined the pebble turret and the pollen turret to make the acorn turret. This turret uses different ammo types depending on the foe players are currently fighting. For example, rocky rounds can use to push creatures back, while sappy rounds are the perfect ammo to use when you need to slow your enemies down. There are 5 different ammo types you can choose from, and all the ammo can be stored in the chest next to the turret, so players can swap between ammo types without ever leaving the turret seat.
That's good.
That's pretty handy. Get ready to buzz with excitement as wasps invade the yard. Oh. Battle with wasps and drones that guard their mini hives across the upper yard.
Up on storm.
Keep your eyes peeled for the hidden main nest as well. A word of caution though, if you piss off their kin, you'll release the full fury of the hive. And those players looking for a more significant challenge can attempt to locate the wasp nest and meet the wasp queen, the new creature boss to enter the backyard. Players who successfully defeat the wasps will unlock new items to craft, such as a new armor set and a new trinket to wear. Players on the go are about to get a pleasant surprise as the team has been able to get Grounded on the official Steam Deck support list. That's right, those on Team Steam Deck can now fully enjoy Grounded wherever they are. That's not all. Starting April 27th, which is tomorrow from podcast recording, Grounded will be hosting a free weekend on Steam through to May the 1st. This will be the best time to get your friends into the game and you and show them the fantastic world you have built. And as always, Grounded is included in Xbox Game Pass, so if you have an active subscription, you can download and start playing Grounded today. And I think
it's on Steam.
Yes, I think currently it's on discount, but a 20% discount currently.
Let me have a look.
It says underneath, it says Grounded was originally $40, now $32. So yeah, 20% off currently.
Well, that's the Xbox side. I don't know if it'd be.
Yeah, that's Xbox Live and Xbox Play Anywhere. So that I think that's also including PC.
Well, no, Xbox Play Anywhere is thingy.
Get it now on Xbox One and X Enhanced, PC Game Pass and Xbox.
£6.24 on Steam currently. And that is down from £35.
35 to 26, that is 33%? Ish, 30%?
Something like that. If you buy it with the soundtrack, it's, instead of being £42, it's £30, which is 29% off. Yeah, 25% off on
Steam.
On Steam, yeah. That'd be cool. I mean, it's like I said, it's a thing to go back for.
Yeah,
and play again.
I mean, I think I'm still on one of my hard playthroughs. I'm still on the fucking flower bed next to the oak tree, up on the wooden. What's it?
Oh, I just saw as well. Apparently, Cassette Beast is now live on Steam, so that probably means it'll be on Game Pass and that as well, because it was coming on Game Pass, wasn't it?
Right, should we make this like a birthday present and wrap it up?
Yes, let's do that so I can get this sent to our loyal listeners and then go the fuck to bed because I'm all crackly. Because yeah. I had to glue my eyes back on my sock puppet earlier on and the super glue kind of got in my throat. The fumes.
So if you want to send me a message, you can reach me on Twitter at Dolphin Rapture. I shall entertain most questions, as long as not religious, political, or racist. Don't be a dick. You can also reach Star on Twitter as well at Stardust2118. Again, same questions, don't be a dick. If you want to reach our guy who presses record, LozG1985, where the fuck you may find that. Still waiting for a message on Pornhub. You can also reach us the podcast handle on Twitter as well, like SRP Podcast Crew, Big S, Small I, Big P, Lower Case Podcast Crew. Again, same kind of questions. Just don't be a dick about it. And if you have a message for Sparks, you can also send that there as well. Mm-hmm. And we use what used to be the Anchor app, which is now Spotify for podcast.
Yeah,
I remembered. So if you want to send us a message, you can, a voice message, you can do through through there. We're still waiting for someone to, that isn't JB, calling us a cunt.
I'm just re-downloading Grounded, by the way. That's what the podcast listeners will have just heard me doing.
I do have a riddle ready, if anyone's interested.
Get on it.
Okay, so the riddle is, no one wants me, but no one wants to lose me. What am I?
Fuck, that's a...
Yeah. I saw this the other day, I was like, you know what, that's actually pretty fucking good. It's not what I would have thought of either. Although, a clue would be that we have spoken about a certain type of this in the podcast this evening, I believe, possibly, regarding certain aspects. That might be a clue. But yeah. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, we shall catch you in about 2 weeks' time, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yep.
All health being good.
I'll be older.
Yeah. But will you be wiser?
Probably.
Of course you will be. It's a stupid fucking question.
Right, thank you very much, guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, people of all ages, small donkeys called Frederico, and whatever your gender orientation is, because guys and girls is too generic. thank you for listening to episode 127 of the Spartans and Pajamas podcast. We'll see you all next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.